We turn in God's Word to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The text is verses 13 through 16. Notice that the psalm is divided into 24 verses, really divided into four sections, six verses for each section. The first section focuses on God's knowledge, His omniscience. The second section on God's omnipotence, His power. The third section on, the second section on God's omnipresence, everywhere present. The third section on God's power, and the last section on God's holiness. And yet pervading all of it is really how the psalm starts, emphasizing God's knowledge. We'll touch upon this in the preaching a little bit too. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far we read God's holy word. The text is verses 13 through 16. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written. Notice the word members is in italics. It could be all my days. The word is not given. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 139 is a very personal psalm. It's a psalm that speaks of God's intimate knowledge of David. God knows when David sits down. God knows when David rises up. God knows the words that David will speak even before they are on David's tongue. God knows David through and through. God knows David better than David knows himself. And yet, while the psalmist emphasizes that truth, what the psalm also emphasizes is that God cares for David. Although God knows David so deeply, the parallel truth is that God also cares for David so deeply. Really, these truths fit together. Part of the reason that God knows David so deeply is the very fact that God cares for David so deeply. And David himself, in this psalm, is experiencing this, and he knows this. He knows that God knows him, and he knows that God cares for him. In this psalm, David is meditating on how completely and how intimately God knows him and loves him. In congregation, I think it's that reality that makes this psalm perhaps one of our favorites. Because when we read this psalm for ourselves, we are brought into to meditate on these truths for ourselves. We are brought to think on our own relationship to the Lord. We have that same relationship. God knows me intimately. God knows me better than I know myself. And yet, having that knowledge, and in that knowledge, God also loves me and cares for me. His hand is upon me. That is an astonishing thought. Well, that's the thought that permeates the whole psalm, and that's the thought that also permeates the text we consider this morning. One of the things we want to see in the sermon this morning is that God is the God who has formed us and shaped us with perfect knowledge and perfect thought and perfect love and perfect care. He has formed us to be exactly what He wants us to be as His precious children. He knows everything about us because He is the one who fashioned us and shaped us in our mother's womb to be the people whom He wanted to be His children. There are no accidents with God. There is nothing about us that happens by chance. I am who I am because God, in His perfect knowledge and in His love and care, has shaped me to be who I am. That's an astonishing thought and a very comforting thought. You are who you are as the child of God. I am who I am as the child of God because God loves us. And this is who God wants us to be as His covenant children. We are who we are by the grace of God. And of course, that's true not only for us, that's true also for our covenant children. And of course, that's also true for little Colton. When Colton was in his mother's womb, God was shaping Colton. God was making Colton to be exactly the child that God wanted little Colton to be. There are no accidents. Each one of us, as God's children, have been fearfully and wonderfully made. May the Lord impress that truth upon us as we consider this passage. We take as our theme, fearfully and wonderfully made. We notice three things. First, the marvelous work. Second, the significant implications. And then third, the fitting praises. As we begin, let's notice how David gets to the words of the text. As I've already said, in this psalm, David is meditating on how God knows everything about him. That comes out very clearly in the first words and in the last words of the psalm. But especially in the first six verses, that is emphasized. Then in verses 7 through 12, David moves on to a meditation of how God is everywhere present. In verse 7, he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" David says, God is everywhere. And yet still, when David says that, David is saying that as he continues to meditate on the fact that God knows everything. David says, God knows everything about me because, partly, God Himself is everywhere. Nothing about me And about who I am or where I go escapes God's all-seeing eye. He knows me through and through. Then in the next verses, verses 13 through 18, David moves on to a meditation of how God is all-powerful. When David talks about how God formed him in his mother's womb, David is touching on the omnipotence of God, how God is all-powerful. And yet, even when David thinks about this attribute of God, David emphasizes that in order to further reflect on how God knows David so intimately. David says, here's one more proof that God knows me so perfectly. He doesn't just see me wherever I go. He's the one who actually formed me in my mother's womb. David is simply standing in awe of how God knows David so perfectly. And that's a comforting thought for David. God knows him. And then he asks God at the end of the psalm to continue to search him and lead him in the way everlasting. Well, if you look more closely at verses 12 and 13, you see the connection more clearly. In verse 12, David is thinking about the darkness. And David says, even the darkness cannot hide me from God. God knows everything. He sees everything, even when I'm in the dark. And then in verse 13, David says, even in that place, that is the darkest place of all, that is the most secret, the most private place there is, the place where are the greatest secrets, perhaps, and the greatest mysteries are found, the lowest parts of the earth, in a mother's womb. Even there, God sees me. Even there, God sees me in the dark. Because God was the one there in my mother's womb, shaping me and forming me. When David uses that language in verse 15, the lowest parts of the earth, David is talking there about the deepest, most secret, most private places of the earth. And that's what a womb is. The womb is a very mysterious, even secret place. No man, certainly not in David's day, no man could peek into the womb to see how a person was being formed and shaped. That's the idea, the most secret, and in that sense, the darkest place, the lowest parts of the earth. And of course, the point is not simply this is how much God knows me, but this is how much God cares for me. He was the one putting me together. While I was yet unformed, while I still needed to be put together in my mother's womb, already then, God knew me. And God cared for me because He was the one carefully forming me and putting me together, making me to be exactly who I am as His child. So I hope you see how David arrives at his thought in verses 13 through 16. Well, this meditation on the knowledge of God leads David, by inspiration, to contemplate the marvelous work of God in the womb of a mother. And the language David uses in the text is very striking. Let's start with verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. The word possessed in the King James, the idea is thou hast governed, thou hast controlled my reins. Perhaps a better translation would be, thou hast formed my inward parts. But the King James means to convey, you have controlled. You've really given me my reins. You've possessed and controlled. They belong to you. They belong to thee. The word reins refers to kidneys. And by extension, it refers to the other inward parts of the body. Now the kidneys, the reins, are one of the most sensitive parts of the body. If you get punched in the kidneys, you're going to feel it. And it was for that very reason that in the Old Testament days, the kidneys were treated as the center, part of the center of man's feelings and man's emotions. The kidneys were a picture of the deep emotions in a man, not just bowels of mercies, but then his reins and also his heart. That's why in the Bible, God also uses the phrase that God searches the hearts and the reins, the kidneys. Because it's emphasizing God searches the inward, the deep emotional feelings of a man. And now here in Psalm 139, David says, God not only knows my secret thoughts and secret feelings, God not only knows them, He's the one who formed them. He formed the inward parts of my body, my kidneys, my stomach, my intestines, and I believe also by extension, He also formed the inward parts of my feelings, my emotions, my attitudes. God gave me my particular faculty of emotions. My tender, secret emotions belong to God. He possesses them. He governs them. He rules them. My tender emotions belong to God. He knows them perfectly. For thou hast possessed my reins. You gave me these inward parts. Then in the second half of verse 13, David says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And we understand this is poetry, but the idea is, you knit me together in my mother's womb. That's really the word David uses. God knit him together. Children, think of a sweater that your grandmother might make. And that grandmother goes to work with her yarn and needle day after day, and she puts a sweater together. That's the idea of God at work in a mother's womb, putting one of his children together. Then if we jump to verse 15, we read verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. David writes, my substance. And the word in verse 15 for my substance really means that which is substantial. He's talking about his frame. He's talking about his bones, his skeletal structure. David says, you saw all my bones when I was being made in the darkness of my mother's womb. You saw me perfectly. And then David writes, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Notice those words, curiously wrought. That means knitted together in a most marvelous way. This isn't just a sweater that God is making. Think of a tapestry. Think of a beautiful embroidery, and there's all different threads coming together from all different directions, all different colors, even all different materials, all different fabrics coming together to make a tapestry. And David says, that's how God makes me in my mother's womb. There are the bones, there are the ligaments, there are the arteries, there are the veins, there are the nerves, and there's so much more. There's one system. There's the cardiovascular system. There's the pulmonary system. There's the endocrine system. How many systems are there? And David says, God marvelously weaves all of it together. Of course, how God does it is a mystery. But this captures the reality. David understood. God is weaving us together. And David says, that's how God made me. Like an artist, He skillfully weaved me together in my mother's womb. Then in verse 16, we read, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The word substance here in verse 16 is different than the word in verse 15. Here in verse 16, the word really means unformed substance. In verse 15, it was referring to the frame, the skeletal structure, perhaps. But here in verse 16, it refers to unformed substance. Really, in verse 16, where it says, my substance yet being unperfect, in the Hebrew, that's one word. My substance yet being unperfect. Unformed substance. It makes me think of a baby in its mother's womb very early on when the cells haven't even specialized yet. When there are no bone cells yet, no blood vessels, no hair, no skin, but there's only cells. What we would call an embryo, or even a zygote. It's not yet a fetus, it's an embryo. David says, when I was still an embryo, God saw me. He saw me and He knew me. Me, David says, when I was still that tiny. When I was but a clump of cells, 100 cells, 1,000 cells, God knew me. My own mother didn't even know she was pregnant. The pregnancy test couldn't even determine yet if she was pregnant. But at the very moment of conception, God knew me. David says, I may have been unformed. I may have been an incomplete substance, but I was a distinct person. And God saw me and knew me even then. That's the idea. Now that itself is a powerful word against the practice of abortion. Even as an embryo, God sees us and knows us. In Psalm 139, David says, "When I was in my mother's womb and yet an unformed substance, already at that early age, God saw me and knew me." Then in the second half of verse 16, David says, and this is Hebrew poetry, right? Where the second half builds on the first half of the verse. That's so often what Hebrew poetry does. "And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." David writes now, even before I was conceived, God knew me, because I was in his book. And that book refers to the book of God's eternal decree. In eternity, God knew David. And according to God's eternal decree, God formed David and shaped David in his mother's womb. And according to God's eternal decree, God formed, shaped all of David's days. That's what David is standing in awe of. David says, that's how much God knows me. He knew me in eternity. And all my life, he already knows it all. He knows the end from the beginning because it's all in his book. And David is staggering at the thought of God's sovereignty. God is the sovereign ruler, governing, directing, controlling all things, bringing all things to pass, bringing me and all of who I am and all my members, all my body parts, or all my days, my whole life, to pass according to his eternal decree. And David looks at all these things, and back in verse 14, David exclaims, "I will praise thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." From eternity, even up to today, God has been shaping all things to bring me to pass, just as who I am. David says, "I am fearfully made." When I contemplate how God has made me, I begin to tremble with awe and reverence. This is simply astonishing. What God does in the forming of a baby demands our reverence and our respect and awe. That's how great of a thing it is. David says, "I am wonderfully made." That is, it causes me to wonder. It causes me to stand back and say, "Ooh, ah." David says, "Marvelous are thy works." David says, it makes me to marvel. What skill, what craftsmanship, what wisdom is involved in God's work of bringing another human being into life. Congregation, we have all kinds of science and technology today that helps us to understand what goes on in a mother's womb, but it doesn't take away from the awe and the wonder of it all. In fact, if anything, it adds to the awe and the wonder of it. We perhaps know a little bit more than David about what is involved in the bringing forth of a human being, or at least of a baby out of the womb. But what we know only emphasizes the wonder of it all. I watched a video this past week from Answers in Genesis on the whole process of conception and pregnancy. In fact, the video itself was called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, just like this sermon. I could recommend that video to a high school science class. It was simply astonishing, as that video pointed out, all the things that needed to be perfectly put together. Perfectly put together simply in order for a sperm and an egg to meet. Simply in order for a child to be conceived. And for a child to be implanted into the uterus of a woman. Even simply from that tiny step, from conception to implantation, there's a whole string of miracles taking place. And at each step along the way, everything has to be perfectly put together, or you don't have any chance of bringing forth a baby. If at any step along the way, you don't have it all put together perfectly, just as it needs to be put together, you lose it all. And you don't have the possibility of bringing forth a child. This is a wonder of God's handiwork. We can see it in a microscope a little bit, but we only see it. God is the one who does it. Just think of what happens when conception takes place and a fertilized egg implants itself into the uterus of a mother. What is happening is this. An individual person with his or her own unique DNA, a completely unique individual, the baby, attaches himself to another person, namely his mother. And the blood or the body of that mother receives that child and starts taking care of that child in the womb. There's two people involved here, you recognize. Even the sperm of the father from a completely different individual. And the egg of that mother receives that sperm. None of your cells do that. But this is what happens in the lowest parts of the earth, in the womb. And the body of that mother receives that child and starts taking care of that child in the womb. Two people are involved, the mother and the tiny child, distinct from each other, yet completely woven, really woven together. And it's all God's work. The mother receives that child and then her body changes completely. And it does all kinds of miraculous things. Hormones being released all over the place so that the child is fed and nourished and brought to term. It's all God's work, beloved. Fearfully and wonderfully made. At 4 weeks old in the womb, that little child is about the size of a grain of rice. And there's a heartbeat there. Even before 4 weeks old. At 8 weeks, there is detectable brain activity. At 12 weeks, your child has all his fingerprints. All his fingerprints. And how big is that child? 2 inches big. He can suck his thumb. He can grasp at objects. At 16 weeks, the baby has hair and eyebrows and eyelashes, and it just keeps going. And it's amazing. And just think, all the information from a scientific point of view, for all these things, is found in that DNA that was there at the very beginning, at conception. DNA that contains enough material to fill 1,500 pages in a human book. And then think of what our bodies are doing right now. All the things going on in your body right now so that you can listen. And there's the ringing of your eardrum and the three little bones in your ear. So that I can speak. So that we can see. Think of the millions of cells and the rods in your eyes so that you can see. And as I move from one side to the other, it's all changing. And there it happens. It's amazing. In every respect, our bodies are amazing. And David understands it just a little bit, just as all of us understand it just a little bit. And David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. There's no doubt about it. The bringing forth of a child is an amazing miracle of God. Now, with all that being said, there are some very significant and serious implications we need to bring out of it. A few truths we need to draw from what David says in the text. I have 4 main things to point out. First, there is this obvious truth. In the shaping and forming of a baby in a mother's womb, there are no accidents. There's nothing that happens by chance. There are no mistakes. Because what happens in the womb is not the work of Mother Nature. It's not simply the work of a man's fertility and a woman's fertility. But it's the marvelous work of the hand of our sovereign God. It's God who determines all that we are. It's God who knitted you together in your mother's womb. Your height, your bone structure, whether you're petite or whether you're heavy frame, your face, the color of your skin, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, everything about you, God, your Father, has determined it and brought it to pass. There are no mistakes. There are no accidents. The space between my big toe and the next toe beside it is all under God's control according to His design. I think we need to remember that, particularly when it comes to the children whom we might refer to as special needs children. David doesn't say, well, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, but there are others who are not so fearfully and wonderfully made. No, God gives us this psalm for each one of His children to make His own. And in all these things, we need to keep an accurate picture of who God is. God was there when the egg was fertilized by the sperm. God was there when an additional part of the 21st chromosome was included with the baby's DNA. And God wasn't just there when it happened. God caused it to happen. God brought it to come about in just the way it came about. And that's true because it was exactly God who was weaving and knitting together one of his children to be formed in this special and unique way. That's what we need to understand. God is there in the mother's womb, and God does all his work. As with everything else he does it with perfect precision, perfect care, and execution. There are no mistakes. Nothing happens by chance. This leads us to a second very important point or implication. You are special in God's eyes. As one of God's people, in who you are, in your body, in all your features, you are just as God would have you to be in this life. And God has a special plan for you and purpose for you in the way that he has made you. I know that kind of language has been abused so much, but we should recognize there is certainly truth in that statement. Who you are as a child of God in your physical makeup did not just happen. It's by design and with a purpose. You know, I might sometimes look in the mirror and say, I don't like how I look. Maybe I don't like how tall I am or how lack of tall I am. Or maybe I don't like my nose. First of all, what we should recognize is this. The fact that you have a nose, does your nose work? The fact that you have a nose is itself an astonishing matter. It's part of what God has made. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made with your nose. And then second of all, recognize this. God cares for you. And in his perfect love and inscrutable wisdom, God shaped you and every feature you have just the way it pleased him. This is your father's will, and he's your father. He loves you. He wants your good. He knows what that means for you, what is good for you and what you need. And he gives that to you. Gladly, freely, he gives it to you. His will is best. His wisdom is perfect. He's the God you can trust to have shaped you and formed you just the way you needed to be shaped and formed to lead you through this earthly life to glory in heaven. He does everything well. And when we think about God's work of forming us as babies, it's really humbling, isn't it? Maybe that's where we need to be at the end of the sermon. It puts us in our place. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. What do I have that I have not first received? Even my body. What do I have that I have not first received? And then again, when I think about the cross of Jesus Christ, and I remember what God, through Jesus Christ, has done, not only for my soul, but for my body, but then my attitude changes pretty quickly too. I need to remember who I am. I am a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner. Once a child of wrath at enmity against God. But God had me written in his book from eternity. I am a sinner, and even still now, I am special in God's eyes. Always have been. And God formed me and shaped me in love in Jesus Christ. He's washed away all my sins. He's given me spiritual life. And he even loves my body. And he's given me my body in love to serve his purpose for my body. His purposes with me and my body. That's humbling. That's humbling. But that's how God does everything for his glory too. Third, there is this important implication. We've already touched on it, but it's worth mentioning again. God knew you even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. God knew you from eternity. as an elect child of God, God's care for you doesn't just begin when you make confession of faith. It doesn't just begin when you are regenerated. It doesn't just begin when you're conceived in your mother's womb. But as an elect child of God, God's care for you began in eternity in his decree of election. He chose you in love in Jesus Christ in eternity to be his child. And then what did he do in time in your mother's womb? He formed you and shaped you to be exactly the child that he knew and loved from before the foundations of the earth. I think what is important to remember in this connection is that God sent Jesus Christ to redeem not only our souls, but our bodies. God loves your body. God cares for your body. Look at your body. God loves it. We could say it this way. God loves it right now, just the way it is. And one day, we also know God will perfect our bodies. And this body, in its perfected and glorious state, God will bring to heaven. And in heaven, I will see how my body was not just good for me in this life, but I will also see how my body, glorified and perfected, is also perfectly suited for the life that God is calling me to live in heavenly glory. Think about that. And through life, God has used the effects of sin and death in the world and in our bodies to lead us and guide us and do us good. He's got all things in his hand, working for the good of his people from the moment of conception, from the moment of Adam and Eve, all the way through to the last breath I take on earth. God has all your members, all your days written in his book. That's what David writes in verse 16. And it's simply amazing. It's staggering. Absolutely everything. The DNA from your mom. The DNA from your dad. The DNA from your grandparents and your grandparents perfectly being brought together to shape you and be used as means to bring you just the way you are today. He worked it all so that you would be exactly in your body the one whom he loved from eternity. From one generation to the next, God is fulfilling his perfect plan, bringing his eternal decrees to pass. That's why we can say he will continue his covenant with children and children's children, because he already knows them in his eternal decree. God knows all our days. He knows all our inward parts. He knows us through and through. He knows the diseases of your body. He knows the arthritis in your joints. He knows the blood clots. He knows the sinus infections. He knows the heart valves, maybe not in the right place. He knows it all. And he doesn't just have it under control. He's working it all in his love and care for you. I think that too is what David is emphasizing when he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not just my conception, not just in my mother's womb, but all of my being, all of who I am in life and death, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And now we can continue that on by emphasizing the fourth important implication we can draw from this passage. What David says here in Psalm 139 about how we are created physically finds a parallel truth when we consider how we are created spiritually. David doesn't really touch on that in this passage, but it's something worth mentioning. How God created us physically, knitting us and weaving us together in a mysterious way, is a picture, an accurate picture. Well, there's two truths here. First of all, it's a picture of how God also creates the church, the body of Jesus Christ. God is the one who forms and shapes us in our mother's womb, and God is also the one who is forming and shaping all the members of the body of Jesus Christ, bringing them perfectly together into one perfect, harmonious body. Her inward parts, even her feelings, her emotions, the experiences that she goes through as the body of Christ, God forms that. He possesses that. All her members, the Christians in the world, God shapes each one of them for their place in the body. He weaves them together, not just individually, but as one body together. God regenerates each elect child at precisely the exact time. He didn't just decree who they would be, but he regenerates them at exactly the right time, incorporating them, bringing them into the body of Jesus Christ, so that now, with their gifts and abilities, they are used of God perfectly for the health of the body, the growth of the body, and the strength of the body. And it's all God's work. And it's all God's work alone. It's all according to God, what God has written in his book. The church is shaped and formed according to God's eternal decree. And if our physical bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, then certainly we can say the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is fearfully and wonderfully made, built up throughout all of history, being built, gathered together. And then this was the second thing. Even just consider who you are individually. As spiritual creatures, you have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You live out of Jesus Christ. And you've got your physical body that has been fearfully and wonderfully made. And then think about all the science behind your physical body. And then think of how these two different realities of your being perfectly join together. Your physical body and all the details God has put into that. And then your soul, your regeneration, the spiritual life you have in Jesus Christ. So that with your body, you understand spiritual truths and you understand them spiritually through the life you have in Christ. Your soul knows, even as your body is used to take in these truths and enjoy them. And if you think about the whole relationship between our souls and bodies, our spiritual walk, and then our daily living in the midst of this world and how it's all working together for the shaping and forming of the body of Jesus Christ and for the salvation of your body and soul. What other conclusion is there than to say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. These things are too high for us. We can, as I preach, we can grasp only a little bit of it. We know the truth is there. But to understand or to comprehend it all is bewildering. It's beyond us. And that's why David says, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David says, I am a marvel. I am the handiwork of God. I am the craftsmanship of a genius artist and architect in body and in soul, in myself as an individual, in my physical life, and even as I am part of the body of Jesus Christ of all ages, and how I fit as a member into the church. I am a marvel. And we say that not to praise ourselves, but we say that to praise God, because this is all of God. Every part of it is of God. And this is exactly why God has made us. And this is exactly his purpose with us. This is why he has remade us in Jesus Christ, so that we might praise him, so that we might see his glory and see his beauty, and he might bring his glory to his name through our seeing it and responding appropriately. All that I am, the way I've been formed, is with this purpose, to praise God. Now, congregation, think of little Colton. Think about little Colton. He doesn't understand one word right now of what's being said. But we say this generally. He's included in this. What I mean is, think about the child of God. Put it that way. Think about the child of God with special needs. They're no different. In fact, their membership in the church and the way that they have been fearfully and wonderfully made only magnifies this wisdom and power of God. God gathers his people from all different nations, from all different tongues, from all different ethnicities, and from all different special needs. Of course he does. This only amplifies God's wisdom and amplifies his power and amplifies his goodness and his grace, and that it is all of him. He knows exactly how to make special children to the praise and glory of his name, to be incorporated into the church and serve their function and their place in the church perfectly. That's what the body of Jesus Christ needs, to be healthy and function accordingly and for her ultimate perfection. This psalm is not just for David to sing. This psalm is for each child of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is a psalm that Ben and Heidi are going to teach their son. And I think as they raise their children in the fear of the Lord, this will be an experience that strikes them over and over again. What a marvel. What a marvel I can see in my own child. It strikes me as I see it in my own unique circumstances. Other people don't see it the way I see it this way. It's a marvel. What a wonder is His creation. His creation of us, His creation of each of our children, and His work of salvation through it all. It's a wonder. All that I am is a display of God's handiwork. All that I am is a powerful display of God's wisdom and power. All that I am shows forth His glory. Even my weaknesses, even my struggles, are there to further heighten and magnify God's power in God's grace and God's faithfulness and God's trustworthiness. In all my weaknesses, God teaches me to rely on Him. And He shows Himself faithful over and over again. And all that I am, God knows me. He knows me perfectly. Because He formed me to be exactly who He wanted me to be. Even as a father. Even as a mother of a special needs child. He knows me. All these days are written in His book too. He knows me. He cares for me. He loves me. Marvelous truth, congregation. Marvelous truth. How do we respond? I will praise Thee. Let my whole life be a song of praise. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God, by His grace, shows it to me every day again. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we love Thy psalms. We love Thy word. We thank Thee that the same Spirit that moved David to write these words is the same Spirit today who etches these words in our hearts. We pray that it might so be, that we might appropriate Thy word, understand it, say amen to it, and then respond accordingly. Give us grace, Father, for our callings, to show Thy praise. Help us to recognize how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and how all that we are, Thou hast shaped for our good, and to magnify Thy own glorious name. And may we delight in that. For Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.